Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisnino here, getting you ready for a podcast that we're going to do, which is going to be very unusual. We are going to be talking about The Amazing Race and Game of Thrones all in one podcast, as Jessica, Lisa, and I are going to create our very own Game of Thrones Amazing Race course and simulate that season of Amazing Race with all Game of Thrones characters. There will be spoilers about Game of Thrones up to what we've seen on the TV show here through 5 seasons and 9 episodes. So just be aware of that. And also, before we get to today's show with Jessica, I want to take a quick second and play you a promo for one of the other shows you could hear here on Podcast One. It's the Phil Hendry Podcast on Podcast One.
You know, when people start having public conversations with the psychotic voices in their own heads, well, you either get them a straitjacket or a podcast. For Phil Hendry, we chose podcast.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry.
Which seems to be the right decision, because since The World of Phil Hendry debuted at Podcast One, his audience has doubled. Or was that the number of weird characters in his head?
Well, I hope you're not referring to me.
You better not be referring to me.
Download a new episode of The World of Phil Hendry every friggin' day.
I thought it would be interesting.
Right here at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Coming to you live from the Seven Kingdoms, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's about to embark on a race around Westeros, Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very unique episode of Rob Has a Podcast, because today we are going to embark on the Race of Thrones. And here to talk to us about everything, she is our chief Amazing Race correspondent and a very big Game of Thrones super fan. Here is the great Jessica Lees.
Hi, Rob.
Jessica, I have intro music for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm very ready.
Okay.
Jessica Jessica,
I am sorry to tell you that you are the last team to arrive, and you have been eliminated from the race.
Jess, what do you think of that?
I had heard that he was cooking something up, but that exceeds all of my expectations.
Yes, that is courtesy of our good friend Tim. Tim All In, he put together that, and he said, this is a special intro for Jess.
That's amazing, and I love it, and I'm like wiping away tears right now.
And he's at Shut Up Tim on Twitter. So he said that to us. Okay. So Jess, we have been talking about this for several weeks. Probably, I think this came up right around the time of the premiere of Game of Thrones Season 5, which we've been covering on post-show recaps. And actually, you just did an episode of the Game of Thrones book club with Antonio this week, right?
Yeah. We recorded that last night, and it was a lot of fun, and we're getting really great feedback from it.
Okay. So by the time this episode airs, you will have already seen Game of Thrones Season 5, Episode 9. The season finale of Game of Thrones is coming up.
It's 10 episodes, right?
This Sunday. Yes, yeah. That's right. So we figured, let's go ahead and get this in and just tell us what we're going to be doing today.
Today we are going to be embarking on an amazing race entirely within the Song of Ice and Fire universe.
And who will be running this amazing race?
Well, I've got 9 teams cast, and I know people are going to quibble with some of my choices, but you have to understand, I'm as the Westerosi equivalent of CBS, I have to cast for diversity as well as like a variety of relationship dynamics, as well as people are going to make exciting television,
yes,
right?
Yes. So Jess and I, we are going to cast the season of Amazing Race, Game of Thrones, or a Race of Thrones, however you want to call it. We're still working on the name. And then we are going to run them through this Amazing Race course through Westeros, and maybe beyond, that Jess has built for us. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's sort of an Amazing Race Canada style course.
All right. Well, I'm very excited about this. You know, Josh and I have done this a couple of times. We did most recently, I think it was on my birthday back in October, we did the Survivor, Walking Dead, which was San Juan del Terminus. And that was a lot of fun. We had previously done a Survivor season. I think we did Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, not Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn of Game of Thrones. But we had been talking about this, the Amazing Race Game of Thrones. And so I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely, I've had a lot of fun brainstorming this.
Okay. Jess, just to get this out of the way.
Okay.
There will be spoilers in this through 26 seasons of The Amazing Race, right? We will be spoiling all 26 seasons of The Amazing Race to
all
so far?
All 26 seasons, yeah. And we'll also be spoiling, we're probably going to be spoiling a fair amount of Game of Thrones as well.
Of the TV series.
Of the TV series. There are a couple of things I have added in from the book universe, but nothing that spoils anything.
Okay, no plot points, just some sort of background information.
Yeah, just some ambiance because I thought of a few things because we have activities, you know?
Okay, well, I am very excited to see how this is all going to go. So I guess we should just jump right in here and talk about these teams that we are going to put onto the Amazing Race. Now, Jess, will the teams be consisting of characters from the Game of Thrones universe, or will they be consisting of characters from the Amazing Race universe running a race around Westeros?
I think it's going to be characters from the Game of Thrones universe, just because we get a little bit brutal here, and I don't want to talk about, like, I don't want some of the things that happen on this particular race to happen to any of the actual people that have run the Amazing Race. However, that being said, I think Phil Kogan is still an inspired host for this program.
Okay, so you don't want to include anybody from the Amazing Race TV show other than Phil?
Right.
Okay.
Because I think anybody like shy of Jim and Misty would have a really rough time of this. It's a hard course.
All right. Will all of the couples or all the pairs that we are going to cast, will they all have an existing relationship, or will some of them be blind date couples?
I did not cast any blind date couples because, you know, I've been on record about the blind date couples. There are some people that have known each other for a very long time and haven't seen each other in a while. And there are some people that have just met for the first time this season.
Okay. Well, as we go through it, maybe we want to just keep that in our back pocket. Maybe a couple of blind date couples could potentially be in the mix.
If you've got ideas for blind date couples, I really want to hear them. I'm very
excited. We'll brainstorm it. And again, we're going to try to cast this. I'm assuming that this is how you want to do it. We are trying to be Lynn Spillman and her team and meet with CBS. And we don't want to have 11 dating couples. We want to have a traditional Amazing Race season where we have people from all different walks of life.
Exactly. We want a very diverse cast, although there are a couple of pairs that I think we can't do this season without.
Okay. All right. So, Jess, I guess, where do you want to start?
Well, let's just dive in with some of the teams. I have a list of people that I really want to see, and I believe you do as well.
Okay. So,
we can just take it in turns, I guess.
All right. So, we're like Lynn and her team. So, why don't you just give us... Why don't you just give us your first team and let's pop in their video and see who they are.
All right. I've got a sibling team coming up first.
Siblings.
Yes.
Good.
And they could not be more different. You know, one of them is sweet and kind and it brought up to be a proper lady. And one of them is just a real hellraiser whose only desire is to seek revenge on everybody. Coming from Winterfell, we have the sister team of Sansa and Arya Stark.
Okay, I like this. Okay, Sansa and Arya. Now, we also need to come up with each team's hashtag.
Yes.
Because we're thinking branding also.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely have to think of branding.
Okay, Sansa and Arya, this is good that they are young. They are women. They're going to, you know, look good on TV. This is a good thing. We're going to bring in a young demo with these people. I love Sansa and Arya as a team.
Yeah, and they're going to argue. They're not going to get along. And that's also a key component of a good team.
Now, are we going to be bringing people back to life that are dead within, as we're up to season 5? Like, hypothetically, if we wanted to have Ned and Catelyn Stark run the race, could we do that? Or if they're dead, they're dead.
I was thinking we probably want to stick to season five dynamics. So dead people, we unless we, you know, struck a deal with Melisandre, we probably couldn't bring some people back from the dead.
Okay. All right. What
unless
if
unless there's somebody you really, really want?
What if we prayed really hard to the Lord of Light?
Yeah, if you want to pray really hard to the Lord of Light because there's someone you really want to see, I don't have a problem.
All right,
with
we'll
that.
See. We'll see as we go through.
All right.
Sansa and Arya, I like them. They are, I think they're locks to get on. What's their hashtag?
Their hashtag.
Hashtag Stark sisters.
Yeah. I think
so how
Stark
about
sisters.
What about like hashtag Stark contrast?
Oh, Rob, you're better at this than CBS is.
Because they're Starks, but they're different.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
Okay.
I'm gonna get my bell.
All right. Hashtag Team Stark Contrast.
Team Stark Contrast.
All right. I like it. All right. So we've got a pair of sisters. Good.
Yep. All right. So do you have a team you want to nominate, Rob?
No, let's go through yours and
okay.
then I'll fill in the gaps if we have missing holes.
Okay. Well, this is a relationship dynamic that I really mainly want to see this pair on the show just because I want to see this on the screen every time I see them. I want to see the pair of dating siblings from Casterly Rock, Cersei and Jaime Lannister.
Now, Jaime is with just one hand now, right?
Yeah, he does have one hand and he has a lot of demons.
Okay,
you know,
great.
They've had this kind of adversity story arc, and they're a couple that really wants to make it against all the odds.
This is a great story. This is a great story because for the first time in Amazing Race history, we're going to have dating siblings. They've never done that before. So that's great. Cersei is going to be great TV. She's going to be fighting with other people. She's going to be yelling at Jaime. She's going to be fantastic. Also, Jaime, he's good TV. He's going to have all sorts of sarcastic remarks. Plus, he has the disability, and that's really big.
Yeah, this hits a lot of very popular Amazing Race casting archetypes kind of all at once.
Yes, yes. So this is a very good. I have opened your article that you once wrote, Jess, the top 11 teams that you'll see on every season of The Amazing Race. Now, little did you know that there would be a season of all dating couples. But this covers a lot of bases here. This is that they are dating, that they are the team that triumphed over adversity.
Yeah, they're
good.
The Wonder Twins.
Yes.
And this is a lot of things all at once. This team is the total package. I think there's no way we can have a season of Amazing Race of Thrones if we don't put them on.
Yes, much like George R.R. Martin, The Amazing Race is fond of people missing appendages.
Yeah, it's true.
So we are going to put them, and they're just going to be hashtag dating siblings.
Yes, hashtag dating siblings.
Or do we want to go a little more cute, like hashtag team sibling love?
I have a feeling
RX for incest.
I have a feeling they would come in with a hashtag and CBS would be like, nope, you're the dating siblings. They'd be like, hashtag hear us roar. Nope. Hashtag pay your debts. Nope. Hashtag keep it in the family. Nope.
No. Hashtag dating siblings. Okay. All right. So now we're a little sibling heavy here. We got two sibling teams. So just keep an eye on that.
Let's go to a couple team then.
Okay, good.
I think we need to have a pair of newlyweds from down at King's Landing. We're going to have Marjorie and Tommen.
Marjorie and Tommen. Okay. I feel like they're not a lock for me, Marjorie and Tommen.
No, they're on the bubble very much.
They're definitely on the bubble. We might replace them. So they're the newlyweds. I think that they're going to be your team that you're going to say at the start of the season when we do our preview, you're going to say, well, my heart is saying this person, but my head is saying this team because they're the most boring.
Yeah, pretty much. Marjorie and Tommen are like the Jason and Amy of Amazing Race of Thrones.
And there's no Providence Marjorie, right?
No, there might be a Highgarden Marjorie coming up.
Highgarden Marjorie is going to come out. Yeah. So, all right. I feel like Marjorie is interesting. I would much rather see Marjorie run the race with her grandmother.
Oh, yeah. And that's also, like, we got multi-generational. We've got...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Tommen is such a non-entity. He would be he would not be exciting TV, but Marjorie and Olenna, you know, you've got sort of a multi-generational dynamic. You've got these like strong, independent, a little bit bitchy women. Yeah, this is good. This is good. I like this.
All right. So let's scrap Tommen. Tommen is out. This is like on Amazing Race when you go through casting and there's somebody that's like one person is good and the other person is bad. And instead of like putting you on like Survivor or Big Brother, they say, do you know anybody else? Could you race with anybody else? All right. So Marjorie's like, well, I do have a grandmother that's very sassy. He said, great. Bring her in. All right. Lady Olenna.
Yeah, I love this. This is great. This is brilliant.
Great. So they are the grandparent and daughter or the granddaughter. Has Amazing Race done a grandparent and a grandchild team?
They've done it twice, in fact.
Okay. How'd that go?
In season 12, they had Nick and Dawn, and Dawn was 72 years old. He was in amazing shape. And Nick was a young guy, and they actually made it to the finals.
Oh.
They ended up taking third place in their season. And then there was a grandmother-granddaughter team a couple of seasons later who did not fare as well.
Okay, well, this team is going to do a lot better.
Yeah, this team is gold.
All right, yes.
So what is their hashtag?
All right, what do you want to do? Do you want to do something like they're like a rose?
Yeah, the words of House Tyrell are growing strong.
Growing.
I don't know if that happened.
Something with thorns?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Let's see. We need something for, something from the Reach?
Yeah. Reach across generations. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah. How about Team Everything's Coming Up Roses?
That's a bit long for a hashtag, long. But I like it.
Well, Team Rose Colored Glasses.
Rose Colored Bifocals, because she's old. But I'm yeah.
What about Team Win by a Rose?
All right, we'll go with that. Win by a Rose.
And again, that's it's a temp one.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure they'll come in with plenty of their own because you know Marjorie is a heavy Twitter user.
Yes, Marjorie's big on social media. All right.
She's probably got a pretty active Instagram page, I would imagine.
I would think so. Tommen is frequently checking it out.
Yeah.
All right. Jess, our next team.
Here's a relationship dynamic. I don't really even know what to call it, but also hailing from the north, I have Ramsey and Reek.
Ramsey and Reek. So these are like our bros team. This is
yes, they're kind of our fratty bro team.
Our dude bros.
Yeah.
Ramsey and Reek. Wow. That's interesting. That's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be like we've seen teams before where there's been one member that's kind of called all of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And the other member is just kind of very quiet about it, but
yeah.
We've never seen it in a team of like dude bro types.
Yeah. And it would be very interesting if like Reek is doing one of the detours and then he's screwing up and Ramsey is like, Reek, you better get this.
Yeah,
you
I'm better. Saying.
It's like, oh no.
You know what happens to people that don't finish the roadblock.
All right. Ramsey and Reek is very good. Ramsey with his dad might be interesting too, but this is a very unique dynamic. Ramsey and Reek, what are they called?
let's see.
See, we think always make fun of what they come up with. We think it's so easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. hashtag flay to win.
Oh, flay to win.
I mean, stark contrast is still the high mark to beat here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. These are in pencil. We may change these.
Yeah. We may have some adjustments
right.
later on.
So Sansa and Arya, we have Jaime and Cersei, we have Marjorie and Lady Olenna, we have Ramsay and Reek. Who else is running the race?
All right. Well, I've got, and you know, Rob, who my all-time favorite character in the Game of Thrones universe is.
Is it Brienne of Tarth?
Yes. Okay. The one I over-identify with, you know, big, awkward fighter type. I don't know why I would be into that, but I've got Yeah, from the Sapphire Isle and the Westerlands, I have a not exactly a knight and squire, Brienne and Podrick.
All right, Brienne is good casting. Pod is the concern here for me.
He's kind of a weak link, but I don't know. I don't know. A lot of my friends that I was running this by, and particularly my husband, were very dismayed that I did not put Brienne with Jaime.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see that, but I also really want Cersei and Jaime together. Like, they're kind of my OTP in the Amazing Race of Thrones.
All right. Well, Brienne and Pod, again, they're on the bubble for me, but let's leave it for now.
Okay.
Again, if there was somebody better that we could put Brienne with, I think she'd be a lock. Pod is really bringing her down.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you going to do? And again, I think Brienne would say, I feel the same way.
Yeah, it's true.
Pod bringing her down. All right, what is the team for this?
That is a good question.
Team Squired Help?
Yeah, okay, Squired Help. Because you know that we're going to come into this thinking that Pod is the weak link on this team.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is Brienne's going to have some sort of meltdown. He's going to carry her.
There'll be some sort of lovemaking task?
Something like that. I don't actually have any brothels on the race course, but you know, it is Westeros.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So what are we calling them? Their team what?
Squired Help.
Squired Help. That's really terrible.
It is really
terrible. That might be the new worst one.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, and you know, somebody always gets hosed with the hashtags.
Somebody does. But again, they're on the bubble, so let's not worry too much about their hashtag.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Who else you got?
So here's another team I think you kind of need in order to have this, like, I don't think you can have a race without this team. We're going to go way up north, and we got a pair of sworn brothers of the Night's Watch, Jon Snow and Samwell Tarly.
All right. Jon and Sam. All right. See, I was thinking you were going to go Sam and Gilly.
Sam and Gilly would be all right, but Gilly, I feel like Gilly is kind of a weak link there. Like, I think Jon brings the same dynamic of, I think he brings a little bit of wide-eyed, you know, innocence with regard to doing the honorable thing. But I think he also brings a little bit of street smarts that Sam doesn't have that Gilly would definitely have.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I just feel like Sam and Gilly are like my, almost like my Mike and Rochelle team. Like, I feel like that they're the people that everybody's rooting for at home.
Yeah, you know, you've got a point there. And Gilly, I feel like she's gotten a lot better over time. Like, when we first met her, she was not very interesting television, but she's gotten a couple of good lines in there.
Right. That Sam could be like, oh, you know, we have, we struggle with our relationship that, you know, I want to meet her father. No, he doesn't want to meet her father. It's the opposite. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it is one of these things where she's a single mother
single
and that's
mom.
Been a challenge.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's such an amazing race team that we would see, though.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I think Sam and Gilly, you're going on the race.
We already have Ramsay and Reek. We already have one, like, dude bro team.
That is true. And Jon Snow, he's busy enough. He's got his own problems.
He's busy enough. Is there anybody else that we can bring in for Jon Snow? Don't say Ollie. Do not say Ollie.
I almost put Ollie down as the greeter on one of the legs of the race just to mess with you.
All right, let's say Sam and Gilly right now.
Yep.
And what are we calling them?
I have a feeling that Sam would have a whole list of hashtags and he'd get them all rejected. And they'd end up with something like Northern Love.
Yeah. It needs to be something with Craven, right?
Yeah. Craven affection.
Craven. All right. Team hashtag Craven affection.
Okay.
Right, and Jon Snow is like on the discard pile right now, but it's like, maybe we could put him on a blind date with somebody.
Oh, Jon Snow would be a great blind date.
Oh, whatever. Could Jon Snow and Brienne be a blind date?
That'd be an interesting blind date.
All right. We'll see. But let's put Brienne, let's put Jon Snow, let's put them in the blind date pool.
I'm noting a blind date
pool. And that could be the answer to get around. Oh, we don't really want Podrick. So that's good. That's good. We have our blind date people.
Oh, good call, Rob. Good call. All right. So yeah, and we've got five good teams cast here.
Yes, we have five good teams, and then we also have Brienne and Pod on the bubble. But I think Brienne is probably going to go to blind date, and I think Pod is going to be, you know, sitting there waiting for the bus.
Yeah.
All right. Who else you got?
I got hailing from. We got another couple that comes from two very different worlds, and I think that they've had a lot of trouble kind of ironing out their differences, but they're both working toward a very common goal, and I think their faith is going to help them on this journey. We've got from Dragonstone and Ashai, Stannis and Melisandre.
Stannis and Melisandre. Ooh, I like this. I think they'd be very good.
Yeah, they're like the older, they're the older team that's, you know, they're still pretty strong, but everyone kind of looks up to them as surrogate parent figures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're from the kind of a... kind of a boring place, and they're very religious.
It's kind of a second marriage for both of them.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of, you know, they're turning over a new leaf and kind of moving forward together.
Yeah. I think for me, like, they're very much like the Jeff and Lyda of this season.
Exactly. Or maybe if they're really intense and Melisandre's, like, really on the shadow baby path, they could be the Jim and Misty.
Okay. So, Stannis and Melisandre, are they hashtag... team, the night is dark.
Hashtag full of terrors.
What would you call them?
I feel like there's something to be done with Shadow Baby.
Shadow Baby. Yeah. Is there anything with the Lord of Light?
Yeah. R'hllor and Savior.
What's that?
They're personal R'hllor and Savior.
Okay.
Let's see.
We might have to workshop status.
Yeah, we got to work on their hashtag. I don't know exactly like what their marketable niche is here.
Yeah.
But they are going to be, I think they're that team that surprises you. You see them and you're thinking, no, they're not as spry as everybody else. They might struggle. And I think they surprise you.
Okay. All right. So Stannis and Melisandre, feeling good about them?
Yeah, we're feeling all right.
Okay. Who else you got?
All right. So we might have to, I think I've got a blind date contender here.
Ooh.
And we gotta think about this a little bit. And actually, after the last episode, maybe we have a sort of a semi-blind date team. These guys just met, but I have a lot of faith that they would be a good team on this show. Hailing from Meereen, what if we set up Daenerys Targaryen and Tyrion Lannister?
Danny and Tyrion.
He's a brand new advisor. They're bonding over their daddy issues. They've just met. They're working out their relationship, what it's going to be and where they're going to go with it.
Okay.
They could both also go into the blind date pile. I think they both would be great additions to the show. I don't know if they need to be on it with each other.
Let me pitch you on something else.
Okay. Go for it.
What if we put Tyrion aside?
Okay.
And maybe we put him on a blind date, and maybe I'm thinking Tyrion and Brienne blind date.
Ooh, Team Big Little.
Yeah, we love Big Little on Amazing Race. And what if we put Dany with Ser Jorah as sort of the exes?
Sort of the Tim and Marie.
Yes.
All right.
And he's still in love with her, and she doesn't want to be anywhere with him. It's also like a sad story. He has grayscale.
Yeah, he's got like an adversity angle there. And, you know, the fans are all going to be like, oh man, that poor guy.
Yes. Yes.
She's going to have no patience with him whatsoever.
Oh, Jorah. Oh, again with the grayscale. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Khaleesi.
Sorry, Khaleesi. I'm just so itchy.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. What do you think of Dany and Jorah?
I like this.
Dario is boring, at least in the TV show.
And Kizdar, also, I can't stand him any more than Danny can.
We like conflict.
We do like conflict.
All right.
All right. So,
Team Danny and Jorah, and then let's put. Are we official on? Are we ever going to find a better blind date for Tyrion and Brienne?
I don't think so. I like this blind date.
Pod is out, replaced by the guy that he used to work for. Here is Tyrion. That's a blind date, team.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, this is, they're actually very well matched because Brienne can be the brawn, not the brawn, the brawn.
Yes.
And Tyrion can be the brains.
Are they team brains and brawn?
Yeah, maybe they're team brains and brawn.
Okay. I like that. Team brains and brawn.
Yeah. And Danny.
How about this? How about brains and Brienne?
Yeah, I like that. That's good. So, do we have a hashtag for Danny and Jorah?
Is it like Sir Sorry?
Sir Sorry.
Yeah.
Because that's gonna come up a lot. I have a feeling like he's gonna just keep screwing up on the challenges and it's just gonna be like, come on, Jorah, we've gotta get to the next challenge. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Khaleesi. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Your cootie spot is acting up.
Misa so sorry. That's kind of like the Jar Jar Binks theme. All right. So is there anything with a knight? She's a Khaleesi. She's a queen. A knight and a queen.
That's a good question. I still like Sir Sorry. Okay. I think that's pretty good.
Team Sir Sorry. All right. So right now we have 8 teams on this Amazing Race. Are we going to do a full 11 teams?
No, we're not, because I didn't plan
non-elimination legs. Yeah,
there are no non-elimination legs.
All right. So is only one more team we have a hole for?
Yeah, and we could even run it with 8 if because there are 6 legs on the race. So coming into the 6th leg, there will be a final 3. We could do a final 4. I know that's not been a popular decision with the fans, but if there's another team you really want to see, I'm totally in.
Well, let's just take a look at who's not cast right now. And just sort of look at it that way of the people that are not in the mix right now. Out of our big characters, Jon Snow right now is not in the race. Here's the teams we have. We have Sansa and Arya.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think they're locked. Jaime and Cersei.
Yep.
Marjorie and Lady Olenna. I feel like they're a little on the bubble.
Yeah, I don't know that they're
team win by a rose.
Yeah. They don't have a very good hashtag. I think they'd be good television, but I don't know how long they'd last.
All right. Ramsey and Reek, team play to win.
Yes.
We have Brienne and Tyrion. That's our blind date team.
Yep.
We have Sam and Gilly. They're sort of the dating wildling and craven guy.
Yes. Newly dating.
Team craven affection.
Yes.
Then we have Stannis and Melisandre.
Yep.
And we
don't
have
a hashtag yet. But.
Yeah. And we have Danny and Jorah.
Yep. And Danny and Jorah.
Okay. People that are not in the mix right now. Jon Snow.
Right.
Is not in the mix.
Right. No Jon Snow.
Varys is not in the mix.
No Varys.
Littlefinger is not in the mix.
Littlefinger would be pretty great on the show.
Yes, he would be. Yeah. He would be great anytime.
That's true. He's pretty much generally great.
Okay. Who else is not in the mix? We also have... Bronn is not in the mix.
Bronn is not in the mix. I thought about Jaime and Bronn as a possible pair.
I know
Jaime would just be good with anybody. I think he's one of those people that came in with a whole list of people he could be paired with.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are screaming that we haven't talked about Team Bran and Hodor.
Yeah. Team Bran and Hodor, I thought would run into trouble. Like, I have a feeling they would have trouble getting cast because, you know, the same way Flight Time and Big Easy had some problems where they would run into a roadblock. And Flight Time had to do that roadblock because Big Easy was just too big.
Yes.
I think Bran and Hodor run into that a lot.
See, I think the bigger problem they would run into is when it's a detour that Bran has to do and he can't walk.
Right.
So unless Hodor carries him, what are the rules on that?
I have a feeling they would have to take a penalty.
Oh, forget it.
I don't think you want to end up going down that road. It ends up being very frustrating. It'd be sort of like in that bar in Malaysia when Luke and Margie could only do one detour because the other one involved needing to be able to hear.
Right.
And how frustrating that was for Luke. I think Bran and Hodor would have a moment like that.
All right. No Loras Tyrell?
No. Loras Tyrell is kind of boring. I think if we were doing a season 2 Amazing Race of Thrones...
We don't have a gay couple.
No, we don't have a gay couple. He and Renly would have been a great team.
Yes.
Sadly, Renly's been dispatched by a shadow baby. So.
Let's see. Anybody else from... I'm just bouncing around the other locations. No Kevin Lannister.
No Kevin Lannister.
No Sand Snakes.
No Sand Snakes. Definitely. I think CBS casting would hate the Sand Snakes as much as the internet does.
All right. So I think that's pretty much all of the biggies.
Yeah. And I think the House Sigil of House Baratheon is a flaming heart with a stag on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just make them hashtag burning love?
Wait, who's we're back to Stannis' hashtag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, hashtag.
It was bugging me that we didn't have a hashtag yet.
Okay.
So I'm nominating burning love.
All right. So out of the potential people, do we have a blind date here? Because they're all bros here. Varys, Littlefinger, Jon Snow, Bronn, Bran, and Hodor.
I feel like if there was a really strong female character that we didn't have a match for, I could set John up on a blind date. Because, you know, it's been a long time. He's kind of probably getting over losing a grit. He's probably ready to get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a good match for him on the board.
All right. So are we just going to run the race with 8 teams?
I think it's fine.
All right. It'll be easier to keep track of.
I think it's definitely easier to keep track of.
Okay.
All right. So are you ready to begin the race, Rob?
Well, before we start our actual amazing race, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of this ridiculous podcast.
Thank them extra.
And maybe they didn't know what they were getting into when they came on board, but it's our friends at stamps.com. And stamps.com is great because, you know, if you lived in the world of Game of Thrones, you wouldn't need to go to the post office to send your letters. You would just have, it's almost the same as having stamps.com. You would just have a unlimited supply of ravens to which that you could send your letters out and get everything. And you wouldn't have to go stand in line in the terrible Westeros post office where the line is just forever and it's like longer than it takes to go see Dany and make a formal request to her. And so forget about it. You'll be there until winter is here. Don't bother with that. With stamps.com, you can print postage on demand from the comfort of your castle anytime you want. Buy and print official US postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. You don't even need to be a maester. And unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes. Jess, I've got the scales at my house, and it's fantastic that it's, I feel like such a free man that I can print postage almost like I feel a bit like that I'm working with the Lord of Light. It's almost like I have magical powers that I could, I just am asking people, do you want stamps? Do you need stamps? I can make stamps at my house. Like what, how is that even possible?
It's just like having a cage full of ravens.
Yes. So who wants stamps? I'm just printing them at my house anytime I want. And people are very jealous. So right now you could use our promo code RHAP for this special offer. It's a no risk free trial. It's a $110 bonus offer, which you get a digital scale, not a grayscale. This is a digital scale up to $55 in free postage. So go to stamps.com. And before you do anything else, when you go there, click on the microphone at the top, type in RHAP, that's stamps.com, enter RHAP. All right, Jess.
All right.
Where is the starting mat in Game of Thrones, West, in the Race of Thrones?
All right, we are gathered at King's Landing on the steps of the Great Sept of Baelor.
I think that's a good call.
Yes, to begin a race around Westeros. And everybody's got their backpacks all lined up in front of the sept, and there's probably a crowd gathered there. Like all the small folk have come to cheer everybody on.
Yeah. Now, is this like at 2 a.m. like when you went to go watch with the other small folk in New York?
Well, I think they don't really have electricity there, so they're probably going to have to do it in broad daylight. And since they can't really do a closed set around the sept, they're going to have to just, you know, there's going to be a couple of spoilers around ye old reality fan forum. People are going to know who's running this race pretty much immediately. So we're just going to run with that.
Yes. Well, especially if you know, like, Varys, because he's going to have his spiders all over the place, or his birds all over the place.
Yeah, his little birds are definitely already on their way to the internet when they see these 8 teams.
Varys is going to, he's going to be like the reality Steve of this amazing race. He's just going to know. He's going to know all the spoilers right off the bat.
Yeah, he's like the Redmond of this particular.
Well, that's just if he knew the cast.
Yeah, well, he's going to know the cast, but he's also going to know where they're headed because he's clearly got a little bird watching him rip open their clue and find out where they're going.
Okay. All right, just take it away. You're like the dungeon master here of taking us through everything, and then we'll figure out what's going to happen when we get to these different places.
Yeah. So leg one, you know, we're still kind of feeling out the relationships. We have to devote some time to introducing everybody, but they always send them to someplace really great right out of the gate.
Yes.
And so for leg one, we're going to make our way to Sunspear in Dorne.
Whoa, wow. All right. How will the teams get to Sunspear from King's Landing?
I imagine they will sail.
Do they have to book? Do they all like go to the harbor and have to book passage?
Yeah, I have a feeling there's only like some of them might have to try to sail standby and some of them will have trouble booking the right boat. There might be a faster boat that transfers somewhere.
Now, there's no sort of like Ford product placement where we have some sort of like horse-drawn carriage where the new horse-drawn carriage has all these features. Teams will get into the horse-drawn carriage and ride to Dorne. Unfortunately, they'll have to know how to drive automatic or a manual horse and buggy. Like, oh, no, I only know how to drive automatic.
I have a feeling there's a lot of overland transport here and some issues with crossing rivers and whatnot, but this is pretty straightforward. The first leg usually is like they might even book your ship passage for you, and the first people to get there get on the fast ship.
Okay, so this basically is there like one or two ships, or everybody gonna be like on the same ship to go to Dorne?
I think there's two different ships. There's probably an early ship and a late ship.
Okay, so one ship is gonna leave early and one's gonna leave later.
Yeah, and we'll probably be 4 and 4 or 5 and 3.
Okay, and the ship is leaving from King's Landing?
Yes, the ship is leaving from King's Landing.
Okay.
And it's going to sail to Dorne.
Good.
And when they arrive at Dorne, they open up an active route marker, and it turns out each team has to, in order to get to the next clue, each team member must eat a giant plate of hot Dornish peppers.
Was there any drama again from getting from King's Landing to Dorne?
There probably was, but I think they probably glossed over a lot.
Did anybody like lose their passport or anything?
Nobody's lost their passport yet.
All right, good. All right, so everybody is pretty much neck and neck here at the first roadblock. And now, do both members of the team have to eat these peppers?
Yes, both members of the team they each have a plate and they each have to eat all the peppers.
Now, how hot is a Dornish pepper?
The Dornish pepper is the hottest pepper in Westeros. It's probably like eating a ghost pepper.
Oh my God. And how big is it?
I don't know if George R. R. Martin has ever gone into that. He's written about the Dornish pepper in excruciating detail, but I don't think he's ever described what they look like.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm just guessing they might actually be more along the lines of the habanero, which you can eat if you've got a high tolerance for that kind of thing, but it just kind of, a lot of people are going to be sweating and crying.
All right. So is anybody, are any of our teams going to have a problem with this Dornish pepper?
I can see Sansa crying a lot while she's eating it, but she's
no, that's the old
through.
Sansa. I feel like the new Sansa is just going to, you know, she can
maybe. Actually, she'll probably eat them like while staring down Ramsay. She'll just like have them. She won't even look at the peppers. She'll just be like putting them in her mouth and chewing on them and swallowing them while she stares Ramsay down.
And Theon. Yeah. And Reek.
Yeah.
I think she'll be fine. I think Jaime and Cersei. I mean, Cersei, after licking up water off the floor, I think she could eat a pepper.
Yeah, that's probably a welcome comparison.
Yes. Yeah. Marjorie and Lady Elena, I think they're fine.
Yeah, Ramsay and Rick are probably fine because Ramsay's just going to scream at him and he'll probably like see her really eat half of Ramsay's peppers too.
The person I see having the hardest time here is Sam.
Yeah, Sam's going to be craven. He's going to be afraid of the peppers.
Do you see him like taking one bite and then not being able to get through it?
I have a feeling it'll be one of those cut to commercial. He's like, oh, this is impossible. I'm so afraid I can't do it. And then we cut to commercial and we come back.
And he did it.
Yeah, and he did it. It's no big thing.
All right. So everybody's through the ghost pepper the Dornish pepper.
Yes, the Dornish ghost pepper. And then they get another route marker because they don't. I think the recent trend has been in recent Amazing Race seasons is they don't really have the standard detour and roadblock in the first lick.
Okay.
So I feel like they have things that both team members have to do.
Okay.
And so in the second one, they've got a big pit filled with vipers. And the teams have to go in there and find the clue that is hidden in the viper tank.
Are these poisonous vipers?
We don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not.
So both people have to go in and get these clue out?
Yeah, they both have to walk through the viper pit and get the clue.
Okay. Boy, I really feel like we're starting Sam off in a...
This is not playing to Sam's strengths.
No, definitely not. I don't think so.
He'd be all right if we had a puzzle challenge, but it's not to be this time. I think he's going to have a really tough time with this.
Yeah, because I think most of our other teams are pretty brave.
Yeah.
But not Sam.
Yeah, I think he would be hurting a little bit. I don't think this is his leg.
I don't think so. So what ends up happening, Jess?
I have a feeling that, you know, everybody kind of has their little freak out of like, I don't like snakes. Snakes are problematic, and they get through it anyway. And it turns out to not be a thing. It just looks scary.
Snakes are problematic.
Snakes are very problematic. You know, we have Indiana Jones running this race. He'd have trouble with it.
I think that was the line from the first draft of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think
snakes are
like,
problematic.
It's like, snakes are problematic.
I think you're right. I think that line is actually better.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling it's a pretty tight race. It's going to be one of those ones where several teams will check in on the mat at the same time.
All right. Jess, I have at my disposal the random number generator if we want to add the element of luck into this.
We could add in a little bit of luck. Like, let's use the random number generator to find out who ends up taking first prize.
Okay, first prize in the first leg.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I have the teams numbered 1 through 8 in the random number generator. The result is 4, which is team Flay to Win is in first after one leg.
I can see that. I think they're going to be one of the teams to beat. So for their great performance, do we give them an express pass?
Oh, do they have an express pass and they have to give one to somebody else also?
You want to do that twist? Interesting. Yeah, let's do that twist. I like that.
Okay, good. Okay, because that would be a real pickle that Ramsey has to give the express pass away.
Right.
All right. So who's bringing up the rear in this leg?
I have a feeling, like, much as I love them, I think Sam and Gilly are going to have some trouble.
Do you feel like Gilly is getting impatient with Sam also after blowing the first leg of the Amazing Race?
Yeah, I think so. I think she's going to be wondering about the future of their relationship.
Yeah, she's going to be like, hey, this was our chance. We could have gotten a million.
Million golden dragons.
Yeah, a million golden dragons. I said, well, Gilly, I was trying. Tried my best.
I've learned a lot about myself.
Yes. Okay. So Team Craven Affection is gone.
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you have been eliminated from the race.
Is there a greeter at the mat with Phil?
Yes, there is. For the pit stop for the Dornish leg of the race is the Water Gardens of Dorn.
Oh, that's nice. I can
and
see
the
that.
Greeter, yeah. It's very picturesque, and they're going to look around. Wow, this is really beautiful. What a great day this has been.
Is Jamie going to propose to Cersei there?
I think we got to wait a few legs.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be a mat proposal, but it is. It's a gorgeous place. And so the greeter is Dorne Martell.
Oh,
he's okay. Like, you know, welcome to Dorne. I'm the guy in charge. You know, it's kind of a big deal.
Right. And now are the sand snakes like trying to harass Cersei while she's there?
Yeah, I think they could have a problem where they're like trying to find the water gardens and the sand snakes give them the wrong directions.
Oh, that would be so sand snakes. Sand snakes are problematic.
Yeah, sand snakes are very problematic.
Okay. So, and they have clothes on?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's wearing clothes.
Okay. All right. So now here we go, Jess. All right. Second leg of the Amazing Race.
All right. And this is the one where everybody is shocked. And this is like the moment like Amazing Race Canada season 2. They rip open the clue and it says, make your way to Braavos.
Braavos?
Find the Iron Bank to receive your next clue.
I thought this was just going to be on the Westerosi mainland.
Yeah, everybody is shocked by this. Wow, we get to leave Westeros. What a big deal.
Wow, okay. So teams will sail across the narrow sea to get to Braavos.
Yes. And they will, when they get there, they will go to the Iron Bank.
All right.
There's a little clue box set up.
Is everybody on the same charter to Braavos?
I have a feeling like this time of year, the autumn storms are rolling in. There's not a lot to choose from.
Okay.
So I have a feeling they all end up on the same boat to Braavos.
All right. Everybody's on the same boat to Braavos. And we get to Braavos and everybody's reaching the Iron Bank around the same time?
Yeah, I think so. I think there might be a little bit of trouble navigating the streets, but... You know, like, I have a feeling like Arya's already been to Braavos.
Yeah, she knows her way around. Yeah.
You know, Stannis spent some time in Braavos. He's good.
Yes. All right. So what are teams doing at the Iron Bank?
Roadblock.
Oh, no.
Who's banking on victory? And at the Iron Bank, you go inside and there's just a big bowl filled with different kinds of money. And you have to count all the money to retrieve the combination to a safe where their next clue will be hidden.
Oh, boy.
I stole this blatantly from season 3.
Okay, so there's money from all of the different places in the free cities and all sorts of... And then you have to figure out how much money you have?
Yeah, you have to figure out how much money you have in, like, iron coinage.
Okay. So you think Tyrion's going to be good at this?
Tyrion's all over this. Yeah. He sees the money. He's like, yeah, I got it.
He's good. Yeah, I think the Lannisters would be okay. You know, Arya, at least, you know, she's had some experience, selling cockles and oysters. So I feel like she's handled money also.
Yeah, she's good with the exchange rates.
Yeah. Who's going to struggle with this?
I could see Ramsay and Reek having a little bit of trouble with this.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Ramsay's not great at math. I have a feeling he would insist on taking this roadblock because he's not sure if he can trust Reek to really pull out a really strong win. I mean, he can scream at him and intimidate him all he wants, but, you know, if he's not going to pull out the first place finish, you know.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling he might end up burning that express pass really early on.
Oh, but they got to give it away by what leg? The fourth leg?
Yeah, they got to give it away probably sooner because, you know, we're only running 6 legs.
Yes.
It's a short race because they have a lot of ground to cover.
Is anybody making any inroads on the express pass with Reek and with Ramsay?
I have a feeling Sansa and Arya want nothing to do with that express pass.
Yes.
I have a feeling Melisandre is saying the express pass is cursed.
The cursed express pass.
Yeah, I could see Tyrion like kind of trying to make small talk with them to try to you know, diplomatically get them to give it away, and
yeah,
they might do it. They might say, okay, yeah, you guys seem like you're kind of a mismatched pair. I don't think you're getting along. I think you're a team that could definitely benefit from having the express pass.
Yeah. So which team?
I think Tyrion and Brienne might have best chance.
But Brienne doesn't like the Boltons. Like, I feel like Jaime and Cersei, I feel like they're like the two teams as like, nobody likes us, nobody likes you guys. I feel like that they're sort of bonding.
Yeah, they could be bonding. I could see that.
I think it's going to be like one of those teams where it's just like the two teams that nobody likes become friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, it's us against the world. All right. So they give Cersei and Jaime the express pass.
Well, I feel like they say they're going to give them the express pass, but I feel like that Ramsay doesn't do that yet.
He's going to hang on to it till the last possible second. He's going to go all Marie on it.
Yeah. He's like, maybe I'll give it to you guys.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll have to see how you guys are.
All right.
All right.
When the teams are going to be coming out of the bank, who's in last place now?
Who's in last place coming out of the bank? I think it's Dany and Jorah that are last place coming out of the bank.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. You know, Jorah... Although he's kind of worldly and he knows he's had some money, but I feel like Dany doesn't know anything about, like, you know, what money is what.
Yeah, you know. Dany's grown up rich. She hasn't really had to deal with money.
Did she grow up rich? I feel like she grew up poor.
Well, she grew up living off of other people's largesse.
Yes, but I feel like she was never out, like,
money of her own.
Handling money, and if anything, like, her brother was doing everything.
Yeah, and everything that we've seen her purchase up until this point, she's like bartered with dragons. So.
Yes, or just like kills people with dragons.
Yeah, she just kind of kills someone, takes what she wants. It doesn't matter what it's worth.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it could be a really critical misstep for the two of them. But I think it's still pretty close once we get to the detour at the House of Black and White.
Oh.
Their detour is Valar Morghulis or Valar Dor Hiris.
Oh, wow. All right, so what must teams do in Valar Morghulis?
They must wash a corpse and prepare it for burial. This task should take all teams roughly the same amount of time, provided they aren't squeamish about touching a dead body.
And what about in All Men Must Serve?
In All Men Must Serve, using only a drawing for reference, you must find the correct face from the face room and bring it to the waif to receive your next clue. Teams with an eye for detail could finish quickly.
All right, let's go down. So I feel like Aria, she could do both things. What do you think she would do?
She's pretty good.
I think home field advantage.
She's got the most familiarity with the face room. I have a feeling that she's gonna say we got to do the face room.
All right. I think that Jaime and Cersei will also do the face room because I feel like they don't want to touch a dead body. And right. It's going to be hard for Jaime to wash the dead body with one hand.
That's true. He's trying to play to all his strengths.
Mm-hmm.
They figure they've got a pretty good eye for detail. They'll be able to rock it.
All right. Marjorie and Lady Olenna.
I have a feeling they're going to do that thing where they think, well, we won't bother with the detail-oriented task. We'll just do the one that we know takes the fixed amount of time. We'll be safe. So they're going to wash the dead body.
All right. Ramsay and Reek.
They got no problem with dead bodies.
Yeah, I think that, and Reek does this detour?
Yeah, Ramsay just kind of stands over Reek while Reek does all the work.
Well, what about Brienne and Tyrion?
Brienne and Tyrion, I think they will probably do the more brainy task. I think they will end up doing they'll do the face room.
Okay, Stannis and Melisandre?
Stannis and Melisandre also do the face room.
Okay.
And then I think Dany and Jorah end up doing the dead body. And Jorah does all of it.
All right,
because Dany is really grossed out by it.
Arya's got to be the first person out of there.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely out of there. I think they end up winning the leg.
All right. Where is the final stop on this leg?
The pit stop is at the Titan of Braavos.
Oh, that's
great.
At the base
of the statue.
That's a great pit stop.
Yeah, and Phil's waiting there with the greeter.
It's very iconic.
And the greeter, the greeter's Jack and Hagar.
Oh, where is it? The greeter is no one.
Yeah, the greeter is no one.
All right. So Arya and Sansa, they're the first team to arrive. What do they get?
I think they get an iron coin straight from the Bank of Braavos, and they can give it to any ship captain at any point to receive free passage to Braavos. It's like the Travelocity trip.
Who is the Travelocity gnome of Westeros?
Travelocity gnome of Westeros. Ollie.
No!
he's like a little guy. He's kind of annoying.
No. Say it's not true. All right. Who is bringing up the rear? Who's going to get eliminated in this legacy?
I think it's going to be kind of a foot race to the mat. We got Dany and Jorah battling it out with Marjorie and Olenna.
Okay.
And I'm not sure which one of them ends up pulling it out.
Well, I think that Lady Olenna is going to be slow in a foot race. If it's a foot race...
She's going to have a little trouble running.
All right. Marjorie and Lady Olenna, I think they are eliminated.
Sorry to tell you, you have been eliminated from the race.
And it's no non-elimination legs in this race?
No non-elimination legs.
Oh, this is
legs.
Great.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher than your average Amazing Race.
Jess, you forgot to tell us at the start of the show what happens to the teams when they get eliminated.
Well, originally I was going to have George R.R. Martin be there and like kill them. But there are a couple of legs up there where they might end up getting killed anyway, so... I think they end up going on a vacation. They're probably going to rent a resort, like maybe in the Summer Islands or maybe, I'm
Pentos?
Not sure. Yeah. They rent a villa in Pentos and they all have to go to the Pentos villa to Elimination Station.
Okay. So you don't want Phil to take out his broadsword?
I could see that. That'd be pretty amazing. But I think, you know, Phil doesn't like to get dirty and he might get some backsplash and he wouldn't like that.
All right. There you go. All right. And he couldn't have Jake and Hagar do it?
Yeah, I suppose he could just have the greeter do it every time.
All right. Well, we don't want to see Marjorie and Lady Olenna die.
No, they're not going to die. They're going to go to the villa in Pentos, which, you know, it's like going to the farm where you can run around with other dogs.
With Sam and Gilly. Okay. All right. Jess, leg number three of the race.
All right. Leg number three, we're going to the Vale.
Oh, okay.
Make your way to the Eyrie and find the Bloody Gate to receive your next clue.
All right, it's kind of a straight shot right across the narrow sea.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Getting there is not going to be the problem, I don't think.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to have a little more trouble. These are, you know, the tasks are going to start to get a little bit tougher.
All right. Well, it's a hike just to get to the Bloody Gate, right?
Right, right. And then it's even further when you rip open the roadblock. And the roadblock says, who's got an uphill climb ahead of them?
Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. So one team member gets a free ride up to the top of the Sky Tower in that little bucket thing. And the other person has to lead a train of mules up to the top of the Sky Tower.
Oh, wow. How many mules?
It's very difficult. Like probably three.
Three mules. And everybody's on there at the same time?
Yeah, and they kind of have to go single file. So it's really going to be down to who gets there first.
Okay. Is this play to anybody's strength? Okay, let's go through the teams and figure out who's taking the bucket.
Tyrion is definitely taking the bucket, and Brienne is taking the roadblock.
That makes sense. Okay, Sansa and Arya.
I have a feeling, like, Sansa's been to the Eyrie. She'll probably want to take the roadblock.
You think so? I mean, wouldn't Arya be better at this? But I guess you got to figure out there's got to be something that we need Sansa to do.
I have a feeling they're going to get in an argument about this, and Arya's going to say, I can do this. This is much easier for me than it is for you.
Yeah.
Let me handle it. And Sansa's going to say, no, I've been here. I know what this path is like. I've been up that path before. Get in the bucket. I'm going to take it.
Okay. I think that otherwise we're going to run into a thing where Arya is going to do every detour. So I think Sansa needs to do this one. Jaime and Cersei. This is Jaime all the way.
Yeah, Jaime all the way.
All right. Ramsay and Reek.
I have a feeling Ramsay is not going to want to do the climb, and he's going to make Reek do it.
Yeah. I think so. And it seems like a Reek job. And yeah. Then Tyrion's gonna go in the bucket. Stannis and Melisandre.
I think Stannis is gonna take this one.
I don't think Melisandre is gonna work with goats. And Dany and Jorah.
I think Jorah's got this one.
She's not the mother of goats.
No, she is not the mother of goats or mules.
All right. Was it goats or mules?
It's mules.
Sorry, I apologize about
that. Yeah, I guess it could be goats. Maybe some of them have to take goats. I don't know.
The first four teams get mules and the last two get goats.
Yeah, whatever's harder. I don't really know.
All right. So the teams are going to get up to the top. Who's up first with their mules?
I think Stannis probably does pretty well with this.
Oh, look at Stannis.
Yeah, they're excited to be out in front for the first time.
Yeah. All right. So the teams get up to the Sky Tower, and then what?
And then they got a detour.
Detour. All right, what is it?
Moondor or Sky Cell?
Ooh. All right, what are these detours about?
All right. In Sky Cell, you're going to get locked into, guess what? A Sky Cell.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a bucket and a scrub brush. And you have to scrub out the entire interior of the Sky Cell to the jailer's satisfaction in order to be freed from the cell and receive your next clue.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah. And Moondor, I stole this from the most recent season of The Amazing Race. You got to go all the way back down and stand at the base of the Sky Tower. And a knight is going to throw you a package out the Moondor. And you need to find where it lands and climb over like all the skeletons of people that got thrown out the Moondor in order to receive your next clue.
Wow. And where's the other partner? Is the other partner up at...
This is a detour. So they're both participating.
Oh, okay.
So everybody's up at the top to get their clue. And then they have to get down. They'll either stay up there in the Sky Cell or they'll go down to the bottom right away.
Okay. All right. So Sansa and Arya, what are they going to do?
Sansa and Arya are probably going to do Moondor. I think they're going to figure it's going to be a little bit less physically taxing. They're probably a little bit tired at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, Jaime and Cersei? I think they're also going to do Moondor because Jaime's going to be like, well, with my hand, I'm not going to be able to scrub as well. And Cersei's going to be like, I don't want to get dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drink some of that water on the floor in the Sky Cell.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Sky Cell has like a slanted floor, right? So it's
right.
Not even
all the water's going to run downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be in a cell anymore. Ramsay and Reek.
Ramsay and Reek are going to do the Sky Cell. Especially when they see everybody else kind of going, gravitating toward Moondor.
Yeah, because, again, Reek is a great partner. You can make him just do all the crap jobs on the race.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Brienne and Tyrion.
I have a feeling Tyrion has had enough of Sky Cells to last him for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And he's also going to figure, when you're done with the task, clearly you're going to need to go back down to the bottom. So you might as well go down to the bottom right away, and then you're already there, and you don't have to worry about coming back down.
Okay, Stannis. Team Burning Love?
Team Burning Love. I think they do the Sky Cell.
Okay. And then Dany and Jorah.
Dany and Jorah are also going to do the Sky Cell.
Okay. Who's cleaning the cell for those teams?
I think they're trying to figure out a way to do it teamwork-wise, but I think Jorah ends up doing all the work in the Sky Cell. Stannis and Melisandre have like some kind of convoluted conversation where they figure out a system to get it done fast.
Like a spell?
Yeah. Like, I think she tries to cast a spell. And I think the two of them, they're working very well together on this leg.
All right. So which team is struggling the most, Jess?
I have a feeling that we're going to see some, this is about the time we start to get the surprise elimination. We get the stronger team. We get some of the stronger teams having a little bit of trouble. Like, I think Cersei and Jaime hit an unexpected snag. Like, they're having trouble finding the package that gets dropped out the moon door. Whoa. And they start yelling at each other.
Yes.
I think maybe Tyrion and Brienne are so physically mismatched that they're having trouble, like, staying together while they're looking for the package.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two of them are having the most trouble here.
Okay. All right. So where is the pit stop?
The pit stop is at the Gates of the Moon, which is the winter castle of House Arryn.
Okay.
And the greeter is Sweet Robin.
Oh.
Yeah. He's probably whining. He's like, how long do I have to sit here, Phil? I want to go take a nap. I'm tired.
Now hang in there, Robin.
Snacks.
All right. So who is going to be the last team to arrive? You've painted a scenario where it's going to be either Brienne and Tyrion, the blind date team, or Jaime and Cersei.
I think it's going to be Brienne and Tyrion. Much as I love them. I hate to admit it, but I have a feeling they're not going to be able to overcome the two very different personalities. And I think they hit a snag on this challenge. And I think Tyrion is really offended by the poetic justice of being taken out by the Eyrie, where he almost died before.
Yes. Can you request a trial by combat if you're the last team to arrive?
You should be able to, but unfortunately he's unable to find a champion.
Will you fight the team that finished just ahead of you to the death?
That'd be pretty cool.
Let the gods decide who is last to arrive.
Yeah, although Tyrion wouldn't want to fight against his brother.
Yeah, okay. All right, Brienne and Tyrion, you are eliminated.
Yeah, eliminated.
All right, so only five teams left in the Race of Thrones. It's Sansa and Arya, Team Stark mm-hmm. Contrast.
Yes.
Jaime and Cersei, the hashtag dating siblings.
Yeah.
Ramsay and Reek, Team Flay to Win.
Yep.
Stannis and Melisandre, Team Burning Love. And Danny and Jorah, Team Sir Sorry.
Yeah, it's starting to, we're at the final five already. This is not as many episodes of this amazing race.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
All right.
Where are we going from the Eyrie, Jess?
Leg number four. We're heading for the Riverlands. We're going to make your way to Harrenhal.
Uh-oh.
And find the Tower of Dread to receive your next clue.
All right. Teams are going to go to Harrenhal. I'm trying to see on my map here. So, yeah, this is a little bit of a slog here to get to Harrenhal.
Yeah, they're going to have to, it's going to be overland and they're going to have a little trouble getting there, I think.
Well, how are they going to cross the river?
There'll be a ferry.
Okay. We don't have to go up to the Twins or anything like that?
No, the Twins are further north. If you see on the map, the Twins are kind of, we'll get to the Twins.
All right.
But
right now
we're going to Harrenhal.
All right. So we're going to have to take a ferry across the river and we'll get to Harrenhal. Boom.
Yeah, boom. So we're at Harrenhal. And actually, Rob, you actually came up with the name of this detour.
Oh.
First time we had this conversation.
Yes.
The detour is Bear or Maiden Fair.
Oh. Yes. All right. What did teams have to do in Bear or Maiden Fair?
In Bear, you must retrieve your clue, which is hidden somewhere in the bear pit, without getting eaten.
Yes.
So you gotta be able to fight. Like, you get a tourney sword so you can keep the bear off you while you get your clue.
Yeah.
And in Maiden Fair, everybody's got to put on a very fancy dress, and they have to learn a choreographed dance.
Ooh, and who's teaching the dance?
I assume one of the denizens of Harrenhal.
Yeah. Okay.
Unspecified, but there's minstrels there. They're playing songs, and you got to learn. You got to learn the steps, and everybody has to put on a dress. This is key.
All right. So what are our teams doing? Sansa and Arya.
Well, Sansa and Arya.
Arya's not going to want to wear a dress.
No, they're going to have their first big blow up of the series.
Oh, wow.
Because Sansa is going to say, this plays to my strength. We have to do Maiden Fair. Like, I'm all about the dressing up in the finery and learning the choreographed dance. Can't you put on a dress for 10 minutes while we do this?
Yeah.
So they're having a pretty rough time. They're having a big argument. But I think finally Sansa prevails.
Yes, because I think you say to Arya, like, look, it's like water dancing. It's the same as sword fighting. Just learn the moves. You like this, just like with Serio Forel. So you'll be good.
Yeah, and so I think they go there, and I think they're doing okay with it.
All right, Jaime and Cersei. Now, Jaime's already been in the bear pit once.
Yeah, Jaime's going to be like bear pit all the way, because I know how to deal with the bear pit. And okay. I did this with one, like, festering infected hand last time, and now my hand's all healed up. It'll be a cakewalk.
Because in a perfect world, you could finish the bear pit thing in 30 seconds.
In a perfect world, you could. I have a feeling the bear is probably not in a very good mood.
Yeah.
So you might have to do some tactical evasive maneuvers.
Is it a cranky bear? What was the animal? Was it a sassy zebra?
Oh, yeah, the sassy zebra.
Was that what it was, or was it a cranky zebra?
It was a sassy zebra.
Yeah.
So the bear is a lot like the sassy zebra, except that
sassy
it also
bear.
Eats people.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
So... yeah, and Ramsay and Reek, no way are they putting on dresses. Like, Ramsay is not going to stand for that, so they're doing
but I feel like he could definitely have... if it was just putting Reek in the dress, I think he would be all for it.
Yeah, but they both have to do it, and so they're really, you know...
Is also Reek going into the bear pit?
I think, yeah, they're both going into the bear pit, and I think it's going to be another one of those cases where he just makes Reek do it.
Why do they have to both go in the bear pit?
Because it is a detour. You both have to do it.
All right. Can one person just like touch their feet on the ground and then come back up?
I have a feeling you could probably get around it somehow.
Okay. They should be tied together by hand. Like
maybe they are tied together.
And this is really going to screw up Jaime, because if he has his hand tied together with Cersei on his one good hand.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
He could tie his like stump arm to Cersei's arm.
Yeah. I think there's probably a little bit of negotiation while they figure out how they're going to tackle this task.
Okay.
I have a feeling that Dany and Jorah doesn't have any pride. He's going to do Maiden Fair.
Wow.
They're not going to have a problem with that.
He's not going to go in the bear pit?
He's going to want to do bear because that's his family crest. And he, you know, he's known as the old bear, or his father's known as the old bear. I don't know what he's known as. But
the young
bear.
Baby bear.
I have a feeling that, you know, Dany's going to, she's going to gravitate toward the dancing, and I think Jorah will just go along with it because, you know, he's kind of whipped.
Yeah, okay. He'll just do it because he'll think like, oh, maybe it'll be like, we'll be like slow dancing.
Yeah, and then, we can pretend that we're in love.
Yes. And Stannis and Melisandre?
Stannis and Melisandre, I think they're also going to do the bear.
All right. Who ends up having trouble?
I have a feeling that Ramsay and Reek run into unexpected trouble.
Uh-oh.
I have a feeling Cersei and Jaime have trouble because they can't figure out like hand strategy.
Yeah. Now, what kind of unexpected trouble do they have in the bear pit?
I have a feeling they just spend too much time figuring out their strategy.
And what is that trouble then?
When
do they
get
eaten by the bear?
They don't get eaten by the bear. Nobody gets eaten, I don't think, but the bear is going to give them a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
And I think the biggest trouble is yet to come.
Oh, no.
Because Sansa and Arya, I have a feeling they're kind of going to be first out of they're going to be first out of there.
Okay.
And they're going to reach the blind U-turn.
The blind U-turn. Oh, my God.
And this is where I see them having the second big argument.
All right. Now, is it a double U-turn? Is there two slots or just one?
There's two slots. But you don't get to say you don't get credit for it. Like, it's a blind U-turn in that, like, they'll be able, it's a double blind U-turn, basically. So you can U-turn somebody and they won't know it was you.
As George R. R. Martin would want it.
Exactly. I think George R. R. Martin would be all about the blind U-turn.
Sansa and Arya, who are they going to U-turn?
Well, they can't decide. They are arguing about this for way too long because Arya wants Cersei because she's on the death list, right?
Yeah.
So she wants to U-turn Jaime and Cersei. They're a strong team. You know, it's good to knock them out early. And Sansa wants Ramsay and Reek because one of them is a really terrible husband and one of them killed their brothers.
Yeah. But then it's like, but he actually didn't really kill our brothers, but his dad did kill our brothers and he's kind of did bad stuff to me.
You know, this is pretty good revenge. We can U-turn him, make him put on dresses.
Yeah.
You know, if we can't kill him, this might be the next best thing.
Yeah. So what are they going to do? I think they got to U-turn Ramsay and Reek.
I think they do. They definitely got a U-turn, Ramsay and Reek.
Yeah. Sorry, Cersei.
Sorry, Cersei. Well, okay. I think Cersei's happy about this.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So who's the second team to arrive to the U-turn?
The second team to arrive at the U-turn is probably Dany and Jorah.
Okay. And are they going to use the U-turn?
They're gonna elect not to U-turn. They're going to be really magnanimous about it.
Yeah. Danny's a really good leader.
Yeah. And she doesn't feel they need the U-turn at this point.
Okay. Then who else? Who's the third team to get there?
I think Stannis and Melisandre.
Okay. Now, are they going to use the U-turn?
They're not going to use the U-turn either because it wouldn't be honorable.
That's not honorable. All right. Then who gets there fourth? Is it Jaime and Cersei or is it Ramsay and Reek?
Jaime and Cersei and Ramsay and Reek are kind of neck and neck on this, and it's going to be kind of a mad dash to get to the U-turn board.
Yeah.
Because if Ramsay and Reek get there first, they can U-turn Cersei and Jaime, and then it's going to be kind of a battle. But, so I don't know how this could go. Because, you know, if Cersei and Jaime get there first, then they can't be U-turned.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Does the second half of the U-turn get used, Rob?
Well, I think this is a question for the random number generator.
Alrighty.
Either that or I could give you Magic 8-Ball. What do you prefer?
Magic 8-Ball. Always.
Okay, so what's the question for the Magic 8-Ball?
Question is, do Ramsay and Reek beat Cersei and Jaime to the U-turn board?
Okay, and the answer is... Outlook good.
Outlook good, alright. So Ramsay and Reek use the second half of that U-turn on Cersei and Jaime.
Okay, uh-oh.
So they both teams have to go and they're going to be neck and neck learning this choreographed dance.
Yeah.
So then the question becomes, which one of them gets eliminated because which one of them is worse at... Well, actually, we got a whole roadblock left. So they're stuck doing this U-turn and then they got to go to the roadblock. So we're not there yet, but they're going to be battling it out. They're going to get pretty far behind at this point.
All right, let's come back to them. Well, what's the roadblock?
We'll leave them there. We'll go to the roadblock. We're going to leave Harrenhal. We're going to make our way to the banks of the Trident.
Okay.
And the roadblock is who's ready for a flashy send-off.
Okay.
And in this roadblock, one of the team members must shoot a flaming arrow at a funeral pyre.
Is there a real dead person in it?
There's not a real dead person in it.
Okay.
It's just like it's one of the boats that the Tullys would use.
All right. So we have Sansa and Arya.
Yeah.
We have Stannis and Melisandre, and we have Dany and Jorah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think Arya could do this, right?
Yeah, Arya could definitely do this.
She could do this. That's no problem.
Melisandre is very comfortable with fire. I think she would do this.
Yeah, she could probably use some magic too.
Yeah, and Dany also very comfortable with fire.
Yeah,
and she's also sick of listening to Jorah. She wants a little break from it.
Yeah, but can she shoot a bow?
That's a good question. I think she thinks she can shoot a bow.
Okay, I think you're struggling with that.
She could struggle, and I think she might be of this group of three. She might still be there when the two teams that got U-turned show up.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So again, let's just finish out then for where is the pit stop?
Pit stop is at River Run.
It's at River Run. And then who's getting there first? Sansa?
Yeah, I think Sansa and Arya get there first. I think they win their second leg.
Wow. They're on fire, Team Stark Contrast.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very good. All right. And then the second team to arrive is going to be Stannis and Melisandre.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So will either Ramsay and Reek or Jaime and Cersei be able to catch up to Dany with the bow and arrow?
Yeah, that is the question. Like, how good are they with bow and arrow? Like, Ramsay loves to bow hunt, so I have a feeling he's taken this one.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling he's probably pretty good at it, but I don't know. Cersei and Jaime might, I don't know which one of them is going to take it, but they might also have, you know, they might also be good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But the real question is about the dancing. Who's going to be able to get through the dancing?
Yeah, I have a feeling Cersei is probably pretty good at dancing.
Okay.
Like, you know how Brendan and Rachel always, you know, they seemed like a very weak team, and then you would get to something where you had choreographed moves and Rachel would kill it.
Hmm.
I think this is one of those scenarios.
Okay.
I think Ramsay and Reek are hot on their tail.
All right. So how does this play out then?
How indeed. So we got three teams still there. Let's use the old random number generator to figure out who ends up getting out of that roadblock first.
Okay, wow. So Dany's really blown it that the two people that got roadblocked are able to catch up to her and Jorah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's kind of an irony in that since she's been basically berating Jorah this entire time.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's good.
So she has to apologize to him and she's having a really hard time swallowing her pride on that.
That's great TV. All right. So team number one in the random number generator is team dating siblings. Number two is team Flay to win. And number three is Sir Sorry. And this is going to tell us which team is going to be coming last.
This is going to tell us which team comes in last.
Okay. The team that comes in last is team Flay to win. Oh my God.
And
what happened?
I guess Ramsey thought he was going to be better at this than he, you know, and he couldn't make up the time. He got there last and he just couldn't quite get it together to overtake either one of the two teams that were there when he got there.
Well, you hate to be Reek after this on a night like this.
It is a rough time for Reek.
Yeah. All right. So is this, we're down to the fourth leg?
We're down to the final four.
Final four. Yes.
Going into leg number five.
Leg five. Oh my God. All right.
So we got the two sibling teams. We got Stannis and Melisandre. We got Team Sir Sorry.
All right. Where are we off to now?
We're going to head for the twins.
Head to the twins.
And our detour at the twins, we got red wedding or purple wedding.
Oh no. All right. Well, I think Sansa and Arya are going to take purple wedding.
Yeah. That one turned out a little bit better for them.
Jaime and Cersei will take red wedding.
Yeah.
Stannis and Melisandre, what do you think that they pick?
I think they also go with purple.
Well, actually, do we know what it is or we don't know anything?
We know a little bit.
Okay, what do we know?
Red wedding, you're going to make your way to the grand ballroom. There's a big party taking place. You have to find the wedding guest who's wearing his armor underneath his clothes before he betrays you.
And how does he betray you?
You have a certain amount of time on the clock, and you got to go around and find all these people before one of them draws a sword.
Oh, wow. And then what happens?
Well, you know, if it was really brutal Game of Amazing Race, they'd probably get killed. But, you know, we're going to say that it's all for show.
Okay.
He draws a sword and you have to start over again. And he probably laughs at you like the pencils down guy does.
Yes. All right. Fair enough.
And so then you have to find a different person with armor under their clothes.
All right. What's purple wedding?
Purple wedding. In the phrase wine cellar, there's a whole bunch of cups of wine. And you have to find a cup of wine that isn't poisoned and drink it to reveal your next clue.
How do you know if it's poison?
I think you sniff it. I think it's a sniff test thing.
Okay.
But you really don't want to get this one wrong.
That's right. All right. So, all right. Sansa and Arya, they're going to be sniffing the wine.
Yeah, they're going to sniff wine.
But neither of them is a big wine connoisseur. This could go bad.
It could go bad, but I think Sansa's been around it enough.
Yeah.
You know, she was married to Tyrion. He loves wine.
And Jaime and Cersei, they're going to pick red wedding, but it could be hard for Jaime to find people that are wearing some sort of chainmail.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's got experience in spotting it.
Yes.
But
that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Stannis and Melisandre, they're going to pick what?
Well, as you'll recall, the first time we meet Melisandre, someone tries to poison her wine. And so it doesn't really matter which wine she drinks because she's got a big tolerance to it.
Mm-hmm. But can she figure out what has poison?
She can probably figure out which one has poison. I think she's got like the, you know, Red Priestess intuition.
So they'll do purple.
And Dany and Jorah probably do Red Wedding.
Okay. All right. So who's coming out of this first?
I don't know, Rob. Who do you think is going to have the best chance here?
Well, I feel like Sansa and Arya are going to struggle with this wine. I feel like they're not big wine buffs. Jaime and Cersei, I feel like the Red Wedding task is easier.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think maybe both of the teams that did the Red Wedding task come out in front.
Okay. All right. So that's Dany, Jorah, and Jaime and Cersei are out in front.
Yeah.
And for Sansa and Arya, I feel like they're neck and neck with Stannis and Melisandre. What's the roadblock now?
Yeah, we're at the roadblock.
Okay.
And we got to go out to the bridge. And the roadblock is, who is Lord of the Crossing?
Lord of the Crossing.
Yeah. And this is one of those points where I had to kind of get deep into the Game of Thrones mythology. This is a child's game that originated at the Twins. And you have to, there's a couple of the younger Frey kids are hanging out on the bridge. And you got to defeat them at Lord of the Crossing in order to get across the bridge and get your next clue.
And it's like a stupid game, right?
Oh, it's an incredibly stupid game.
How do you play it?
You basically, one person is the Lord of the Crossing. In this case, it's the Frey Kid. And you have to swear a bunch of oaths to them, make deals with them to get across the bridge. And at some point, you have to sneak the word mayhaps into what you're saying without them noticing. And then you try to get across the bridge after you've done that. And there's a lot of like shoving and hitting. And it's kind of one of those games where you have like special words you have to say, and then it kind of turns into a brawl.
Yeah. Okay. So who's going to be good at that?
I think Arya is going to be very good at that. I think she's going to make up some time.
All right. So she can make up time. And so the teams that are from the Purple Wedding, that's Team Stark Contrast and Team Burning Love.
Yeah. And so, they're going to be in the back. Like, I have a feeling that they're far enough behind that the first two teams are already out of there.
And can Stannis and Melisandre overcome this? That they're in last place, and then they're also not going to be good at this game.
Right. I think they're not going to be very good at this game.
So I think this could be the end of the line for Stannis and Melisandre.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we get to Walder Frey's throne room.
Yes.
And the greeter, of course, you know, old man Frey and his, like, new 15-year-old piece.
Yes.
And so Stannis and Melisandre, here's one for the eight ball, Rob. You know, we could go into the final leg with three, or we could go into the final leg with four.
Yeah.
You know, the last two seasons we've gone in with four. And fans don't really like that, but it is a possibility if you want to go that way.
Okay.
So magic eight ball, do Stannis and Melisandre get to race in the final leg?
All right. You may rely on it.
All right. So it is a keep on racing leg. You are still
racing.
Keep on racing. You're still going. Final four.
All right. Where is the final leg of the amazing, the great Race of Thrones?
The Race of Thrones, the final leg. Make your way to Castle Black at the Wall.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. Roadblock number one.
This is a hike.
This is a hike. You know, we're going to take the King's Road. It's not going to be terrible. It is going to take some time, but they're going to get there.
Okay.
They know the way. Roadblock number one, who wants to push through the pain? And you remember how on the Wall they got that janky elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to turn the crank to get the janky elevator to go up. So one person gets in the elevator, the other one turns the crank to get them to go up to the top.
Okay.
So that is the first roadblock.
All right. So I feel like Jaime and Cersei, I feel like this plays into their hand pretty well, no pun intended, that I think that even though Jaime only has one hand, I feel like he's strong.
Yeah. I think he can probably figure out how to like wedge his fake hand in there to get the thing to turn pretty well.
And Stannis and Melisandre, I think that'll be okay. Dany and Jorah, I think they'll be okay. Sansa and Arya, this is going to be tough.
This is going to be tough. I think Arya is going to be inclined to take it.
Yeah.
But I think she's going to struggle.
Yeah.
She's a lot smaller than the three guys.
This is sort of like when the country singers like had to carry like a bunch of kegs around and all the other teams like had like a big guy on it.
Right. It's exactly like that. I think we're having a little bit of trouble here.
Yes. So are they going to get into It's Not Fair?
They might cry unfair a little bit. And I have a feeling Phil comes out on the course and eliminates them in the fan favorite fourth place slot.
Oh, and you would feel like after all the things that have happened to them that they wouldn't really be bellyaching too much about the Race of Thrones, right?
Yeah. You know, it's in the grand scheme, like watching your dad get beheaded, you know, having to be married to Ramsay Bolton, you know, being accused of killing the king. You know, they've gone through a lot.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling like this brought them closer together. They've kind of figured out how to work through their differences. They're happy to spend this time with each other. You know, they're going out happy.
Okay. All right. So Sansa and Arya are out. All right. So then once the teams are at the top of the wall, what are they doing?
Roadblock number two. And the other member of the team, of course, has to take this half of the roadblock.
Okay.
And the roadblock number two is who's ready to slide down a slippery slope?
Uh-oh.
So the other team member has to now rappel down the side of the wall.
Wow. This is going to be tough.
It is not the amazing race if you don't have rappelling.
All right. So you're going to rappel down the wall. And who's going to do this for Jaime and Cersei?
Cersei has to because Jaime did the cranking.
Oh, my. Whoa. And so, wow. Cersei is rappelling down the wall.
Yeah, she's not going to like this. Like, you're going to see her in the like helmet, and she's going to be complaining bitterly the whole time.
So Melisandre is going to rappel down the wall. I feel like she'll be fine.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
And then Dany and Jorah.
Yeah, Dany's going to have to do it, and I don't think she's going to like it either.
Okay. So
she'll do it.
I feel like Cersei is going to have the most trouble with this.
Yeah, I think she's kind of... Cersei and Jaime are going to be bringing up the rear as we go into our final memory task.
Hold on. Which side of the wall did we rappel down?
we're staying south of the wall.
Got it.
You don't want none of what's going on up north of the
wall. I just wanted to make sure.
I found out.
You're taking us all around. I was just wanted to make sure you weren't taking us to the north side of the wall.
Well, just as regular Amazing Race is probably never going to go to like South Sudan or, you know,
we're clear of trouble.
Yeah, we're not going to North Korea. You were just going to avoid all of that. We're just going to stay south of the wall where there are no ice zombies.
Got it.
All right, so we get to the next thing, make your way to Moat Cailin. So we're going to go south a little bit. We're going to go to the final memory cast. It's all set up at Moat Cailin. They rented out the whole thing.
Wow. You would think that we would hit Moat Cailin on the way to the wall.
Yeah, well, it's probably
very inefficient, this leg of the race.
On the final leg, you kind of move around a little bit. They want to shake it up as much as possible. So the final memory task, they now have to arrange the house sigils and words in the order in which they visited them.
Oh, wow.
So you have to know the sigil and you have to know the words and you have to be able to arrange them in the order you were there. And there are probably some that they haven't been to just to mess them up.
So I feel like this is between Stannis and Melisandre and Dany and Jorah. And unless they blow it, then I feel like Jaime and Cersei could sneak back in.
They could. I think Jaime and Cersei would be really good at this, but I don't know how far behind they got.
Yeah. They're sort of like the Haley and Blair right now, I think, going into this final
three. Very much the Haley and Blair.
And this is sort of like, Jelani and Jenny. And we have also our bougie winners.
Yes, our bougie winners.
All right. So what do you got?
I don't know, Rob. We should probably, this might be one for the RNG.
Okay. All right. So team number one is Stannis and Melisandre. Team number two is Dany and Jorah.
Yeah. Team number three, the dating siblings.
Yep. Do you think that if Dany and Jorah win the Amazing Race together, that he will be allowed back in her court?
I think he's hoping that. I think he's going to get some good confessionals out of that.
Okay. All right. The team. Now, is this the team that is eliminated or the team that's going to win this?
I think it's the team that's going to get out of there first.
Okay. The team that's going to get out of there first is Stannis and Melisandre.
Okay. And the finish line is at Winterfell. So you've got a little bit of more backtracking you got to do and you got to get there.
Okay. Get back on the road and go to Winterfell.
Yep.
All right. And then how does it play out from here, Jess?
Well, I think we're going to think, oh, is it Stannis and Melisandre or is it Dany and Jorah? Maybe Stannis and Melisandre have a scene where they're like, take a wrong turn and like, oh no, we may have just lost the race. But I have a feeling we get to Winterfell. The teams are waiting there. Phil is waiting there. And I have a feeling Stannis and Melisandre land on the mat.
Team Burning Love. Congratulations.
You win a million gold dragons.
Wow. So, boy, the prophecy is true about Stannis.
Yeah, I mean, Melisandre saw it in the flames. They were going to win the Amazing Race of Thrones.
Yeah. What does Phil say to them when they get to the mat?
He says, seven kingdoms, two continents, 5,000 miles. Stannis and Melisandre, you are the winners of the Amazing Race of Thrones.
Wow. Who comes in second? So second is Dany and Jorah?
Second is Dany and Jorah. And then you have Cersei and Jaime like bringing up the rear and everybody claps for them and they all hug. And Cersei and Jaime, we learned a lot about each other and this was a really wonderful adventure for both of us.
So everybody's kind of cool after all this?
I think so. I think they're like, I have a feeling that there's still probably some bad blood between Ramsay and Reek and Sansa and Arya, but I think everyone else is just kind of, you know, they're happy. We don't get that moment where like somebody tries to make it all about them at the end.
So Jaime, no Matt proposal to Cersei?
No Matt proposal. I think he realized along the way that they're better off as friends.
Okay. Well, they say that that's how you tell if you should really be with somebody, like go for on a trip, like around the world with them.
Yeah, and you know how many couples have broken up after they do the Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah. A lot.
A lot.
Okay. All right. Well, Jess, let me give you a big round of applause as well. This was fantastic. Very fun to go through the Race of Thrones.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to get a lot of people tweeting at me like, what the hell is wrong with you?
All right. We need a hashtag for the Race of Thrones.
All right.
Now, do we want to be on the nose with hashtag Race of Thrones? Do we want to go with something a little more that we talked about, like snakes are problematic?
I think I like snakes are problematic.
Okay. Especially on the Race of Thrones.
Jessica. Lease, Jessica.
Jessica, and I am sorry to tell you that you are the last team to arrive, and you have been eliminated from the race.
I kind of want to make that my ringtone.
I will send it to you.
Please do.
I'll send it to you. All right, and again, great job by Tim on that one. All right, so our real Game of Thrones coverage is going to pick back up this Sunday night. It will be the finale of season 5, so the countdown is on. Join us live. I'm sure it'll be a big show, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Josh Wigler and I will be there live. And then if you want to check out our feedback show, our book club show, you can check that out at postshowrecaps.com and subscribe at postshowrecaps.com/iTunes or on the Rahap app. And of course, you could listen to Jessica's appearance on the Game of Thrones book club for this past episode there as well.
Yeah. And if you are one of the crazy people that tuned into this primarily because you are Amazing Race fans, Dan Heaton and I are going to be covering Amazing Race Canada in July when that starts up.
Yeah. Not to mention, Jessica has also been covering Orphan Black for us on Post Show Recaps as well, Jess.
Yeah, and we have Orange is the New Black also coming up.
Yes.
That I'll be covering with Taylor Cotter.
Any show with colors in the title, that's all you.
Evidently, that's my niche.
Yeah. All right. Well, you did a great job with this. I hope a lot of people got as much enjoyment out of it as we did. And of course, you could follow Jess on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie, and really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments about all this.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to get some angry people about the outcome. You're going to be disappointed. It's going to be one of those, like, why did the boring team win?
Well, I'm sorry. I think people wanted the Team Stark Contrast to win.
I think people were definitely rooting for Team Stark Contrast going into the final.
It would have been nice, but whoever said there was going to be a happy ending on Game of Thrones?
That's true. You know, yeah. All we do is subvert the expectations here.
Yeah, you're lucky they didn't die.
Yeah.
Could have been worse, right?
Could have been way worse.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.